What's up, everybody, and welcome into this Money in the Bank post show. I'm Jonathan Hood from Good Karma Wrestling and from the CTJReport.net. It is CJ Taylor. He is with us right here for our Money in the Bank post show. Thanks so much for being with us, man.
Man, thanks for having me again. Man, that was a crazy show.
Oh, it's fantastic. And it starts with the fans, right? Starts with the fans in London. There have always been great fans in the UK, but they were just at the O2 Arena, they were just overjoyed that they got themselves a major pay-per-view, and they were able to celebrate from the beginning to the end. They didn't let the wrestlers down. So shout out to the fans for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll get to the John Cena part a little later on. But London may be very deserving of a WrestleMania at this point. But we'll get to that in a second.
That's for sure. So let's go through the show, and we want to get your thoughts as well. Again, GKW_wrestling is where you can find us on Twitter. Of course, we've got our YouTube as well. You see it on the bottom here. Good Karma Wrestling every Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific, as I team with Brian and Gabe and yours truly. We give you the best in wrestling conversation. But this is a pop-up special for you, the wrestling fan, and Money in the Bank. We had to talk about it, right? So we start off first, CJ, the Money in the Bank ladder match with Damian Priest, Nakamura, LA Knight, Escobar with Butch, right? You've got Logan Paul, and you've got Ricochet. So, you know, the betting favorite was supposed to be LA Knight or either Logan Paul. If Logan Paul won, okay, so social media-wise, it would blow up. If it's LA Knight, that's the favorite. But that's not what the WWE does, though. They make you wait. It ends up being Damian Priest. What do you think of the matchup?
Overall, I thought the matchup was strong. Some really cool spots. I was jotting down some notes, you know, as I was watching this. The Shinsuke knee off the top rope that hits Damian while he was on the ladder. That was a pretty cool spot. There's a couple other spots during the match that was pretty cool, too. I actually thought that Damian Priest would win because I think there's the storyline of the potential, you know, breakup of the Judgment Day, Finn, you know, possibly getting, you know, jealous of Damian having the briefcase and possibly cashing in on Seth. I thought that Damian winning would further that story, you know, going forward. So, and plus, I mean, Damian's had a pretty cool, like, 6 months. So I think this is kind of well-deserved for him.
This is kind of like, hey, you got beat by Bad Bunny. Here you go.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Hey, and no disrespect to Bad Bunny, but someone had to take the call, right? You're in Puerto Rico. It could have worked either way, but Bad Bunny's not losing in Puerto Rico. And Damian Priest, he's had some really good matches and taken the fall on a number of matches. This is a reward for everything that he's done. What I'm mad about is that you did not call me or text me because I could have bet on this. If you thought that Damian Priest was going to win, you should have hit a brother up and just say, hey, put up $200 on Damian Priest, because from a booking standpoint, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. I was kind of like you or a lot of the fans. The sentimental favorite was LA Knight. Like, that dude is just organically over everywhere he goes. You know, they're, you know, cheering for him. You know, he gets in crazy ovations, loud pops. But then in my mind, if I'm thinking like Vince, organically over, we're going to wait a little while for him, you know, to put him in some more meaningful matches. But let's give it to the guy, you know, that probably deserves it. Not to say that LA Knight doesn't, but I was just, something just told me that it would just be too right if LA Knight ended up taking a briefcase.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. And somewhere down the line, he's going to be a champion. So I totally get that. But I'm happy for him because he's gotten over, right? I mean, he is a hybrid of The Rock and Stone Cold Steve Austin. That's who he is. You know, close your eyes and listen to him speak. He's both of those guys, and he's over. Oh, yeah. One little catchphrase, wherever WWE goes, he gets a reaction. And that was not in the cards. He was supposed to be a heel. But I think that, you know how we are as fans. We'll just take it over. Like, no, you screwed this guy in this whole Wyndham Rotunda fiend situation, right? You screwed him. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to put him over, kind of like Daniel Bryan in that way. And so I've seen interviews with LA Knight recently. CJ, he's surprised himself. He surprised himself. Like, wow, I'm getting a lot of ovation. He didn't expect that.
Yeah. He's kind of, you know, we've seen this before, whether it was with Miro, who used to be Rusev, or, you know, other wrestlers who were able to get over organically. You do kind of feel surprised by all of that. I'm wondering, though, if, and I don't think they're necessarily going to put him in the world title picture since he's over on SmackDown with Roman, but could he be the guy that takes out Austin Theory and wins the U.S. title?
Your lips to God's ears. Anytime they want to do that, live event, Raw, SmackDown, yeah. Whenever you want to do that, I'm totally good with it. Yes, totally good with it. So, but when you go through the list, Logan Paul was like the second favorite on BetUS. I can understand why Logan Paul would be Money in the Bank because, as you well know, as a longtime wrestling fan, he's not supposed to look this good. And it is amazing. It's like he's been a wrestler for 20 years, smooth in the ring, knows his spot. He's a heel, loves to be a heel, and he's got a great following. So if he would have won it, it wouldn't have surprised me.
No, it wouldn't have surprised me either. Like you said, he has the social media following. That would have been obviously great for WWE as well. The heat definitely would have come with it, you know, with him winning the briefcase. So him winning, yeah, probably not surprising at all. But again, for me personally, I'm a Damian Priest fan, so I was happy that he ended up winning the briefcase.
But, you know, Butch was a favorite in the crowd, too. We kind of forgot.
Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah. UK Butch. They didn't mind. He would have won it either. You know something about him, right? So I watched him at NXT UK, CJ, that's why I started falling in love with this guy, right? It was like, look at this guy. I mean, he's stomping on fingers. He's separating fingers. It's like, this little bastard's pretty interesting, right?
Yeah.
But he's just a little bit of a step off on the main roster, right? Where it's like, he should be a heel.
Yeah.
And he's a baby face. And that makes me think he's a little bit of a step off. I like some of the spots he had there. Escobar was the long, like the dark horse. He wasn't going to win. Nakamura was going to win, but Butch, though, had a great response in the UK.
He did. Actually, as I was watching that match and just kind of, you know, paying attention to the pops, Shinsuke got the pop because they loved the song.
Yeah.
But I thought the loudest pop went to Butch, you know, as he was, as he was coming in, obviously being the hometown favorite. So then LA Knight came in and then he got the loudest pop, but Butch got a really nice pop. They need to figure out something to do with him because he's, like I said, he's a fantastic performer. He's got a mean streak in him. You know, he enjoys pain, you know, those type of things. So, yeah, I hope they can do something with him, you know, going forward.
They pretty much told Ricochet, hey, just do your spots. He's amazing. And like, no disrespect to Ricochet. He knows his role out there and he keeps it exciting, keeps it moving.
Absolutely. He had a couple of nice spots in there too. I think it was that 450 splash to Butch and Santos on the ladder. That was crazy. That was a really cool spot. Did they purchase new ladders? Because those ladders are like pretty unforgiving. Like they did not bend or break at all.
You know, during that match. It's funny you mentioned that. I thought they were a little bit more sturdy than usual.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm like, because I thought at least when he hit that 450 splash, oh, yeah, the ladder's going to break in half and you get that cool spot. And it didn't. I was like, oh, man, okay, cool.
Crazy. But shout out to all those guys in the ladder match. It really set the tone for the show. And to see Damian Priest win, a lot of respect for him. I've been watching him since he was in the Indies. He has an opportunity here, and he was able to pay dividends in the World Heavyweight title match, which we'll get to a little bit later on in our review. So. Yeah. So, okay, here's the great thing, right? This is two guys that you're watching right now and listening to that are old school wrestling fans that realize that if you're going to pay money for pay-per-view, you want to see something that's unexpected. And I think that Triple H understood that too. You're in London. You've got to be able to have some things that you're not expecting. And that was the second match, right? I was thinking bathroom break, popcorn match. Turn the water on, you know, give the lawn a nice soaking. When Ronda Rousey is out there, right? She's out there with Shayna Baszler against Morgan and Rodriguez. And I thought, okay, yes, they never really lost the tag team titles. Let's see what Morgan can do coming back from injury. And then the split happened, CJ. Like, wait, that wasn't in the cards. Like, nobody had that on their WWE Money in the Bank bingo card that Rousey and Baszler would split up.
Yeah, that was that for me. That was going to be the popcorn match, the take a break match, because you just assume that Rousey and Shayna was going to go over, but Shayna turning on Rousey, seeds were kind of planted about a, I don't know, close to a year ago, but they never did anything with it. So to bring it back, I'm not going to call it long term booking. I just think they
No.
decided to do it. But here's the question I have for you.
Yeah.
Who's the face in this one?
Well, this is Vince McMahon trying to say, I'm going to turn Ronda Rousey a babyface, whatever it takes. You know, we've seen this before, right? It's like, you know, people don't, for a long time, Rousey came out there with a smile because I'm sure that she went through Gorilla and Vince was there. Smile, damn it. You're a babyface. Goddamn, smile, right? All that, right? And Rousey on social media and different outlets said, I hate the fans. Pretty much. I'm just paraphrasing. Not because of the social media aspect. They want a wrestler. They don't want someone that's trying to learn how to wrestle. And Rousey's a name. But think about it, CJ. She's been around so long. I don't even think of her as an MMA star, a former MMA star. She's just, I know that's what she is, but that's not. That's what not what I think of first. I think of someone that just gets booed a lot from WWE fans. And this is almost Vince or Triple H trying to say, you know, we can't turn Shayna into a babyface, but we're going to try with Rousey one more time because of the merch and everything else. And they want to be able to sell a woman MMA star. And so I think that that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to do everything they can to turn her a babyface. They got the, she's got the Rowdy Roddy Piper like t-shirt and it still didn't get over. So, I mean, that's what I think. What do you think?
I completely agree with you. I think this, as soon as it happened, I was like, oh God, they're gonna try to turn her face again. They're gonna try this one more time. I just don't think it's gonna work. I don't think the fans are into Rousey that way. But she still sells merch. She's still gonna get viewers. She's gonna get eyes on her. But it's just kind of that from the fans' perspective, it's like, yeah, we kind of don't want to see her, but we do. But I just think that having her as a face going forward, the fans are going to cheer for Shayna for two reasons. One, because they don't like Rousey, and two, I think for a lot of fans, Shayna's been misused mightily ever since she's been called up to the main roster. Arguably the greatest NXT Women's Champion in that brand's history, and she's just kind of floundered around for comedy acts or random tag team acts, or they may give her a shot here or there for a title, but she's not going to win. When you talk about someone who should be like a monster heel in the women's division, you're looking at Shayna Baszler, and for whatever reason, they just don't seem to want to pull the trigger on her. So this feud that they're going to have coming up, everybody wants Shayna to win. I want Shayna to win. So it's going to be interesting to see what they do with that going forward.
You know, the worst thing that could happen is indifference. But I'm just saying, you put them in the ring, it's like, and the fans would be like, yeah, so, and I think, here's the thing. I think the fans have respected Baszler because she's hung in there and she's turned into somewhat of a sports entertainer along with the stuff that she does. It was a square peg in a round hole watching her at NXT. So I was like, what is she trying to do? Or will this work, right? And so this will be interesting to see the reaction from the fans. London gets over. Savannah, Georgia may not. The same, man. Like, you know, certain things get over in certain places. I just don't know how this works long term. So, but I want to just say I'm happy that it wasn't a popcorn match because what happened in the end, we didn't expect. So at least we got that, right?
Yeah, exactly. It was a standard match, but the turn, just made the match, a little better.
Am I in order here? Is the Intercontinental Championship match next?
Yes,
Is that next?
that was
Okay.
next. Yeah.
All right. So Gunther in his matchup, just dominating Matt Riddle. So I saw this match in progress. You know, you go online and get yourself a secret link, and you get a chance to see some stuff on progress. I'm gonna have to sneak you that link because that match on the Indies or in the UK Indies, is phenomenal. It's as good as you think it would be, right? It's Matt Riddle.
Right.
Yeah. You know, so besides the, you know, the, you know, the pineapples or birds, whatever flying out of his ass, you know, like before that, that guy was a killer. And he was. Yeah. And I watched Gunther as Walter on the Indies in the UK, and he was amazing. So we only got a little glimpse of what that looks like. The storyline was very clear that Gunther was going to work on Riddle's foot and ankle, and so Gunther had Riddle tap out. But if you see that match again, especially on live events or what they used to do, man, that match can be a banger. It really can be.
Yeah, I felt as I was watching that match that it seemed like they, either because of WWE style or whatever, it just seemed like these two didn't take it up to the gear that I think they really wanted to. You and I both have watched Gunther as he was Walter in NXT UK. Riddle with his MMA background and the way he used to wrestle before he got to WWE. You know, maybe you save that for SummerSlam. Maybe they have a blow-off, you know, a blow-off match. Maybe Riddle gets another shot at it. And then they can really, like, tear the roof off. But I was really expecting them to just, like, just, you know, hit on all cylinders. And it was a good match. You know, it was a fine match. But I just felt that they didn't take it up to that next level. It was just missing a little something. And Walter going over, obviously, Gunther going over.
Wait a minute. Right.
Gunther going over, obviously, is the key here. It's really easy to see that they are all in on this guy. He's a star. He is what you need in a superstar, especially from the heel perspective. Yeah. He might be the top heel on the SmackDown brand. That's the type of star that you're looking for. I'm really a big Gunther fan. As well as just Imperium as a whole. Then we get the surprise.
Out of nowhere.
Yeah. We get this. I mean, Gunther didn't even get, 10 seconds to celebrate his win before Drew's music hits. And, you know, he comes out and, you know, hits Gunther with a claymore. I'm like, oh, okay. All right. If this is going to be the match at SummerSlam instead of maybe part two with Riddle and Gunther, I'll take that too. I just think Drew, when you've won the world title, of course, without fans, you don't get that cheer in front of fans. You lost to Roman, you know, in your home country, and you just haven't been able to get back since. You kind of feel like Drew's just been done just a little dirty, not terribly, but just a little dirty, that you want to see him, you know, hoist that championship up in front of fans. And I don't know if the Intercontinental Championship would be enough for him to hoist in front of fans, but I still think that Drew needs a world title run in front of fans. But I don't think it's going to happen.
Well, I mean, I don't know his contract status, because I thought his contract was running out soon.
I did too. I thought he wasn't coming back.
You know how they do it, though. It's like, if you have injury, whatever you miss that you missed, they tack on to the back end of a contract. I don't know his contract status. I think the 4th of July holiday will find out exactly what his contract status is. But I thought that he was, you know, just gone and just off of TV because they couldn't find anything creatively for him. But yes, I do want to see a big man match between Gunther and McIntyre. I think that'd be great. But again, we talk about pay-per-views, right? Can I have a surprise? I mean, it's the UK. You know what would have been a surprise? Yeah, a surprise. How about let Drew McIntyre win a Clash of the Castle? How about that? That would have been a surprise. I don't know. His own country. Yeah. Everybody was – they had me. I was like, this is going to happen now, and it didn't. So if that's the IC title, if that's what he's destined for, cool.
Yeah. So that was all in all, a good match between Gunther and Riddle. Like I said, it's a little step below of, I think, what they could have done. Yeah. And then from that point, we get Dominic Mysterio versus Cody Rhodes. And first off, Rhea Ripley, respectfully.
Yes.
But Oh, that's all. Just respectfully.
Oh, yeah. Just respectfully. Okay.
Yeah, just we'll leave it there. Respectfully. but this was a match that everyone in the building knew that Cody was going to win, and Dom had his couple of shots in there, but there was nothing in that match. I mean, that's a match that probably could have taken place on Raw. I didn't think much of the match from that standpoint. You go out there, Cody gets his pop, you know, everybody sings along to a song, he does his thing and gets the win going forward. It just seems like Cody's in the holding pattern until we get to him and Brock, you know, at SummerSlam. And Dom is just kind of a little in the wind as well, as he just kind of hangs on to the coattails of Rhea. So that was just kind of a match that kind of came out of nowhere, and they had it, and now we move on to something else.
Well, I mean, it doesn't hurt Dom, because Dom is, yeah, you know, a heat seeker.
Yes.
That's one thing. And then Cody wins. You know what I really liked? Cody takes off the sleeve, right? I mean, right. He doesn't have the cast. I thought he's going to do this for 10 years, like, you know, Iron Mike Sharp. Now he's just going to keep that on, like, for his entirety with WWE. They took it off. Looks like he's healed.
Yeah, looks like he's ready to go, and we'll finally get that blow-off match with him and Brock at SummerSlam. But to your point about, you know, Dom with the heat and why this loss won't hurt him.
Yeah.
Yeah, wrestlers kill for that type of heat that Dom just organically gets. And the way he kind of feeds into it and plays into it is really top notch. I've actually been impressed with his growth as a performer and as a character since he started with his father. He's really, you know, shown the chops, you know, both inside and outside of the ring with his character. So what happens with him going forward? Obviously, he'll continue to be with the Judgment Day and Rhea. Overall, just been impressed with, you know, how he's been able to handle all of this, because there was a point where people were like, I don't know if I really want to see Dom, you know, in the ring, but he's really grown over the past year.
Rhea, respectively. Yes. Okay. Yeah. She was looking good as always.
Yeah.
So then we get to John Cena. Are we on the right path here?
Yeah.
John Cena comes out of nowhere. They're promoting something. They take a little pan of the crowd, and then John Cena's music comes out. I thought he was like a troll from Austin Theory, but no, yeah. It's actually John Cena. He comes out.
I was legitimately surprised that Cena was there in London to come out and cut a promo. I was wondering. I was like, "All right, Cena's here.
Yeah,
what's he there? You just don't bring John Cena in to just cut a random promo and say hi to the crowd and then go back home." I think that planted the seeds of maybe having a WrestleMania at Wembley in London, probably in a couple of years. And you don't think it's gonna happen?
No, it will happen. But the way that John explained it was interesting, right? Because he shot with the audience. It's like pretty much saying, without saying, Vince did not want to have a WrestleMania in London because it was anti-UK for a long time because of the time difference, all that nonsense, right? Which, like, it really matters. But but he really shot with the audience. It's like, yeah, they didn't want to come here because you guys take over the audience. Because, you know, if you have a WrestleMania or a major event in London, it's Bizarro World. That just used to just drive me up the wall after WrestleMania. You got an international crowd. They liked their favorites, and it was piped in to Michael Cole or whomever to say, hey, whatever you're seeing from this crowd is Bizarro World. It's not real. Mm-hmm. It is real. The London crowd has wanted this since Davey Boy versus Bret Hart.
Mm-hmm.
And this is early 90s, right? I mean, they wanted this for a long time. And so just to plant the seed that, hey, there could be a WrestleMania, I know that London's going to be all for it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I never understood that either, this whole Bizarro World, or you're going to, you know, international places, or the crowd, you know, taking over. But you want your crowd to, you know, really be invested from start to finish. We saw how hot that crowd was at Clash at the Castle. last year. You saw how hot that crowd was when they were in Puerto Rico earlier this year. It's just a different vibe. It adds to the pay-per-view experience, you know, if you're watching on TV, just see the crowd, you know, there from start to finish. You know, there are no lulls because they are that invested in watching the product. So I don't see why they wouldn't want to go there. I would love to go there, you know, if I were in WWE all the time to get those type of, you know, crowd reactions, to have that out of a crowd, you know, for your entire card, top to bottom. Who wouldn't want that?
The UK just across the board is just hot. It's just hot, CJ. Just like from little pubs to mediocre, you know, middle-sized arenas to what we saw at the O2. They're just hot. They just love wrestling. It's just been in them for a long time. And I just think that it's interesting to hear John Cena just kind of plant the seed, like, what if there's a WrestleMania here? And the reason why they do, you know, why they do that, right? They did that because AEW is going to have a big show in August, and, and it's going to be sold out. And they just want to be like, hey, I know AEW is coming here in August, but what if we have the biggest event of them all, the granddaddy of all, WrestleMania? Of course they'd be down for it.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if they could get Wembley and then get the whole stadium, not just, you know, 50, 60,000 that AEW is going to get, if they can get the entire stadium in there, 80, 85,000 people in Wembley Stadium for a WrestleMania, that would be insane. Of course they would love it.
When you get these interruptions like a Grayson Waller or somebody else doing that to The Rock back in the day, like, does that resonate the same as Grayson Waller coming out? Like, I barely know who he is. I've seen him on TV, but I barely know him. And he comes out there and interrupts John Cena. It's kind of like, really? Like, fluff.
Yeah, it was him coming out there, I was like, okay, so John must really love the business to be able to give a rub to Grayson Waller, you know, for that little promo, that little segment. And then, you know, it got a little physical between the two of them. So I don't know if that sets up, you know, a slight program for them down the car, down the ladder, maybe at SummerSlam or something else. But I mean, credit, kudos to John Cena, you know, for that. I mean, because Spursa was awesome theory, and he didn't have to do that at all. You know, he went ahead and gave Austin Theory a rub, and now it looks like he's going to do the same thing for Grayson. So, you know, hopefully these young guys can take that rub that they're getting from, you know, guys like Cena and really run with it, because you don't, you know, those opportunities, you just got to take advantage of them. Well, it's still in question as to whether or not Austin Theory has been able to really relish from that, you know, rub that he got from beating Cena at WrestleMania. But, you know, we'll see what happens with Grayson. But I was like, you know, I was like, yeah, really? Grayson.
Like, it's the Rock's spot, so to speak.
Yeah.
Like, that's what it is. Like, okay, someone's going to interrupt Cena, the all-time great, as Michael Cole said, the greatest of all time. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, I do too.
I don't know why he said that, but I feel like he's planting the seeds for something. So then we go to the women's Money in the Bank match.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Zelina Vega, it's Becky, it's Zoe Stark, it's Bayley, it is Io Sky, Trish Stratus. And who am I missing? I feel like I'm missing somebody. Maybe not. Maybe that's it.
No, it was just six. I believe it was just six women.
And Trish.
Yeah.
And Trish Stratus. Boy, let me tell you, I can make a real argument with you that the women's Money in the Bank was better than the men's, only because I know it sounds bad, but when the women take bumps like that, like the men, it's like, wow. Man, I saw some whiplash effect stuff on a veteran like Trish Stratus. I saw some stuff there, some spots there with Zelina Vega. Like, she's only 98 pounds, man. She's doing some stuff. I'm not trying to be sexist to you. I'm not saying that the women can't do it. I'm just saying that there was some indie unnecessary spots made by the women that maybe actually more impressed than the men overall. I don't know if you feel the same, but that's kind of how I felt.
No, as I was watching that match, I'm trying to look at my notes here. The Io Sky doing the Io Sky, I think, had a moonsault off the ladder. Yeah. Like, like, okay, EO, I think the code red fried that Zelina hit on Zoe Stark off the ladder onto another ladder. Like that was probably the best spot of the night. Was that one. I mean, the women went all out for this one, and you had what I liked about it was it brought in several different storylines. So you continued the Becky, Trish, Zoe Stark thing. You had the Bailey EO, thing kind of going on in that as well. And they just decided we're just gonna go all out. We're gonna outdo the men on this one. We're gonna do some hellacious spots. You know, it looked violent, it looked, brutal, and the ending was just perfect. With Io Sky, handcuffing Becky to Bailey to, again, set up that further distrust between Becky and Io. I mean, Bailey and Io. So, all in all, I kind of agree with you. I thought the women's Money in the Bank match was probably the strongest match of the night from a storytelling perspective. And then just the spots that they put on and just how hard the women went in that match. It was very entertaining from start to finish.
Just watching Becky and Bailey handcuffed to one another, as Becky earlier in the match had a handcuff. It was just the one wrist. And then EO Sky with the presence of mind to be able to put those handcuffs where Becky and Bailey are handcuffed and Sky is able to win. I'm looking at the press conference as we do this show, and I did see Bailey and EO Sky sitting side by side. No kayfabe. I'm looking at it right now. Then they were sitting side by side. You would think that Bailey would be kind of pissed off. And mm-hmm. but I really liked when we saw the faction that Bailey was leading. I thought it was new and fresh. Yeah. But this is EO Sky's time. There's no question about it.
Yeah, it's been a really long time coming for EO. I thought she was in NXT a little too long, and I thought she should have been called up to the main roster a while ago before she actually did come up to the main roster. When you talk about fantastic. Performers, at least from the women's roster perspective. I mean, much has been made about the Four Horsewomen, and that's obviously solidified. Much has been made about Bianca Belair, and that's also been solidified. But when you look at a performer like EO Sky, and if you have a chance, audiences, really go back and watch some of her matches, in NXT or in the Indies, like, she is one of the best in the world, and I'm talking about everybody, no matter what promotion, that you watch. EO Sky is really that damn good, and it should be her time now. And the possibilities now between her and Asuka in a feud, sign me up for that 10 times out of 10.
Give me that WrestleMania.
Yeah, absolutely. She doesn't have to. She can hold on to the belt, to the Money in the Bank briefcase until WrestleMania. I mean, just give me that. I want to see that match. That's been one of my, dream matches ever since EO Sky got to NXT. It was like, give me her and Asuka. I just want to see those two go at each other because it's new, it's fresh, at least from the WWE perspective. And those two just know how to go. And I think... from Asuka's perspective, she's also kind of, stepped it up a bit in terms of her aggression, in the ring and things like that. So give me those two all day, all night.
Seth Rollins against Finn Balor for the World's Heavyweight Championship. Okay, so you kind of knew that Seth Rollins would go over. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to figure out where Finn Balor goes. Like, the story is fine. Like, Judgment Day, you can see this, like, four cars, four different people. Mm-hmm. That's kind of what I see. It's kind of like I think it's better without Edge. And I think that they've done something. They made chicken salad out of chicken. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So I thought this match is a good match. But in the back of my mind, I'm like, Finn turned it up a little bit, obviously, to lead into this matchup. Mm-hmm. But Seth, you knew he was going to win. But I just like the finish because Damian Priest is there at ringside. And his, tactic was really the difference. He stands up, and Finn Balor's on the top rope and thinking, okay, if I beat Seth, are you going to beat me?
Right.
Just a little mind games that happen right mm-hmm. there in order for Finn to lose. I guess my point is like, where does Finn go from here?
That's going to be the interesting thing going forward with the Judgment Day. You know, does Damian Priest do to him what he did to Edge?
Yeah.
You know, they're standing up there and, you know, Damian cuts a promo of, you know, we're only as strong as the weakest link, and Finn, you're it. You know, and he ultimately turns, you know, on Finn. Finn's another one of those guys that has the world title has yeah. eluded him.
Yeah.
Or that world title push, you know, has eluded him. And maybe he does, maybe later on down the line, maybe it's a SummerSlam thing that Finn gets over on Seth and then the cash in happens.
Oh, the cash in. The cash in. You think that he could be World Heavyweight Champion at some point? I'm talking about Seth's title, not Roman's title.
Yeah. Because whoever won the men's briefcase tonight was going after Seth.
Mm-hmm.
Like Roman's thing has never been in question because WWE can't figure out how they can make Roman lose. They still haven't figured it out yet.
Right.
Finn could take the title off of you. You have at least a number of challengers that could take the title off of Seth, because again, it's a bit more believable. You know, it does set a multitude of storylines that you can go in, you know, should Seth, you know, be defeated. And Finn wins. Now he's constantly looking over his shoulder because Damian's holding the briefcase. Or, you know, if Damian cashes in at some point, he's looking over his shoulder because he knows he's screwed Finn out of a couple of opportunities to win the world title. So I think it's setting up where it may be the two of them, where one of them wins the title and the other guy's like, I'm coming for you. And that's how the Judgment Day pretty much gets, you know, split in two.
See, I think it's very interesting. As we have our conversation, make sure you bookmark the ctjreport.net. That's where you can find CJ Taylor and his website there. You know, because it's in London, because the show's in London, I am drinking tea. I rarely do, right? But because of the smoky skies of Chicago, never thought I'd ever say that in a sentence. It messed me up, man. I've been down for like a couple of days, but I wasn't going to miss this Money in the Bank post show. It's been, you know, the air quality has not been good. It's getting better now, but it wasn't good. Yeah. Like, and then like broadcasting live 4 hours at a golf course at Seven Bridges mm-hmm. outside where the air quality is bad, and then allergies on top of that. So
yeah,
you're going to get a raspy hood for a while. I sound tougher with the raspy.
Yeah, Wednesday wasn't a great day for me either. No. I was driving to work and was outside for a bit and instantly got a headache. And I was like, this was not good.
You know, I'm not going to say excuse my voice because that's how wrestlers talk anyway. Like,
exactly.
So I'm good. So I'm good. It's getting better too. So I want to talk about the main event. It's what Roman Reigns said. Roman said, this is not going to be fast food. This is filet mm-hmm. mignon. Mm-hmm. That's what this is. Man, yeah. I went through on a previous podcast. You guys can go in the archives of Good Karma Wrestling. I went through like the 10 best storylines of my wrestling fandom.
Mm-hmm.
And there's never been anything quite like this. Why it's interesting is because of Vince McMahon and his penchant to be like, this isn't working, or I'm bored. I'm like, 3+ years of this, right? Yeah. But they're not even close to being done, right? They're not,
because
there's more to this. It's like, I'm watching this match, and I was looking for a 5-6-star match, the way Meltzer talks about it. I just want to see how the story extends. For the first time, mm-hmm. you see the Usos against Solo Sikoa and Roman Reigns. And just to see how all four of these family members, how they work, was fantastic in the main event.
The psychology.
Mm-hmm.
In this match was just top tier. I mean, you got drawn in from an emotional standpoint. You were emotionally invested. The crowd was emotionally invested. And then in the back of your mind, because the story has taken so many twists and turns, you know that there's going to be another twist. There's going to be another turn. So what happens now? Is Solo going to be the guy that, you know, turns on Roman, or does one of the brothers, you know, turn on each other and Roman gets the win? You know, all of these things are playing in your mind as the match goes on and on and on. And just the long form storytelling, like you said, 3+ years of this. We haven't seen a storyline like this, maybe ever.
No, because it's week in and week out and there's layers, right? I can give you the Horseman versus Dusty. Yeah. I can give you that, and Dusty always needed somebody, right? Mm-hmm. And then someone will always turn on Dusty, Barry Windham, you know, guys like that. Like, it started with Magnum TA, and then it was like Jimmy Valiant and all these people. Like, that's a long-term story, but it's in the archives. I had a whole list. Like, I did Von Erich's Freebirds. That lasted a long time until the Von Erichs start, you know, dying. And then it actually – what's funny is with the Von Erichs and the Freebirds is – that thing lasted a while. It actually ignited the territory. You go back in those early archives, there's empty seats until the Freebirds got there. And then against the Von Erichs, it was fantastic. But I just, this thing is just amazing just to watch. And then to see the ending of this. Now, again, I'm not going to cut any corners, because please talk about this as long as you like. I'm just impressed sitting back watching just like this poetry in motion, them telling the story. It was just amazing.
Yeah, as the match was just drawn to an end, you're wondering, how is this going to end? How is the storyline going to be, you know, going to go going forward? To have the match end the way it did, even I had like the drop jaw reaction, like, wait, they pinned him?
Yeah.
Like, in the ring, clean, 1, 2, 3. Roman gets pinned. That I could not. If Roman's team was going to lose, I just for sure knew it was going to be Solo. That he was going to be the one to eat the pin. I just couldn't possibly conceive of like Jay finished the story.
For now,
Jay has gotten the upper hand on this. But now, where do you go from this point? You know. How is Solo feeling that he's looking at Roman like, dude, you were the one that took this pin, not me.
Solo gets the heat.
Yeah, Solo's going to get the heat for it. But this is, I mean, you can easily see this storyline just going through other twists and turns, you know, all the way up until WrestleMania next year. I mean, it's really just that good. I mean, credit to all four of these guys. Credit to Paul Heyman. Who's I'm sure has been a big influence behind the scenes in the drafting of this story. I mean, Jey Uso, I mean, if you were giving out Oscars for performance, I mean, Jey Uso is just right there. See, he was the catalyst for, you know, how this story all started. I mean, Roman deserves his props as well, just being the egotistical, you know, champion that he's become. Jimmy, you know, often looked upon as the weak link, has now become stronger, you know, after his turn. I mean, it's just, you can just point to so many different things with this story. It is the most captivating story in any promotion by far. It is what is giving WWE its legs. It's what you look to SmackDown for every single week, even if Roman's not on it. Yeah. You know the Usos are going to be there. You know Paul Heyman is going to cut some type of a promo. Solo is going to be there. Something keeps happening just about every single week that furthers the story along. And yeah, this is for my filet mignon. Eat it up, folks, because this is the good stuff right here.
This is the greatest storyline in my lifetime. And you know, I'm ancient. I've been watching wrestling for a long time. You know this, right?
Yeah.
It's the greatest I've ever seen. Because every week there's something, and it doesn't have to, like you mentioned, it had to involve Roman, be Paul. And by the way, that's elder abuse on Paul. He's got to hold on to 3 championships. That guy's going to pass out. It's going to be a tragedy. No, it's hot in there. He's got a full suit on. That's hard on a big man. And then he's got three belts he's holding on to. Like, I feel bad for him. I do.
Like at some point, like, Paul, you can put the other two belts down. Roman just needs the one. You know, he's lugging around these two belts. It's okay, Paul. You can let the other two go. I mean, the one belt takes the place of two, but apparently not.
No, the tribal chief says, hold on to the championships. Where do you take them? Yeah, your point's well taken when you talk about Jey Uso. And actually, I don't know the answer to who's going to be the heir apparent, Jey or Jimmy. I have no idea. I just know it's one of the great tag teams that I've seen in an era where it's not great tag team wrestling. But the point is, though, is that they're consistent. So yes. I'm not going to say any shade to those two. They just fight whoever the WWE puts against them, and I think that they flourish. I just think that with this whole story, to see Roman Reigns lose and take a pinfall for the first time since 2019.
Yeah.
2019.
Yeah. That's wild.
So you go through 2019, you don't lose in the pandemic, you don't lose in 2021, 22, all these days as heavyweight champion, and you finally take a pinfall. He didn't have to do that yet. Like, yeah, I mean, the best bet in Vegas is that Solo is going to take it. But now that extends the story, right? It's like Roman didn't have a backup.
Mm-hmm.
Paul Heyman wasn't going to come in there. Roman had to take it. So I just think that is fantastic. And, you know, that just only elevates Usos even more so. And here's what I'm thinking. There are more Samoans coming. It's got to be. There's more Samoans because there's plenty of Samoans in the Indies, right? Jacob Fox was in the Indies. He's in MLW?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, so like he was champion, MLW champion for a long time. I keep seeing what I see on social, like the dad of the Usos. Have you seen this? Yeah. Like he says, he keeps threatening like he's got to be at Raw or SmackDown. I don't know. All I'm saying is that I expect more Samoans to support Roman.
Yeah, at some point, right now, with the Usos having the upper hand, you're like, how does Roman get back? How does Roman get his lick back, as they say? How does he get back on top? Yeah, somebody else is coming. You know, whether they can snatch Jacob Fatu, you know, from the Indies and you know, have him, you know, as more muscle, you know, along with Solo. Maybe, like I said, somebody else from the family comes in, you know, to provide support for something is going to happen to further what is the greatest storyline possibly in the history of professional wrestling. It just goes on. And the thing is, fans aren't tired. No. Not in the least.
No.
No. Not in the least.
No.
I mean, everyone's throwing their ones up when Roman makes his entrance into the ring. You know, everyone's throwing we the ones when the Usos come in. This storyline has done so much for Roman because we remember where he was 4 or 5 years ago, just kind of, you know, being forced on us, you know, as a baby face, when probably you and I both know that wasn't Roman's true character, that they never allowed him to really express himself and be himself. This storyline has allowed Roman to be himself. Then you take a team like the Usos, who have been a tag team, one of the greatest of all time, but have been stuck in kind of like tag team turmoil. They're in the main event. They main evented WrestleMania. They've main evented now Money in the Bank. I mean, I don't know. I didn't think that would have been possible for, you know, Jimmy and Jey 3-4 years ago. But this storyline has elevated them as well. Paul Heyman is always going to be Paul Heyman. He's great. And then you take someone like Solo Sikoa, who just came from NXT. He really didn't have a long run in NXT. But they just immediately, you know, kind of brought him up to the main roster. And right from the jump, he comes in and proves himself, you know, both as a character and inside the ring. He put on some really good matches as a solo, no pun intended, as a solo performer, you know, just like AJ Styles and other guys, you know, on Raw. And I'm like, this is what the storyline has done for the four of them. It has just elevated them to levels, you know, we just may not ever see again, to have a storyline do that much for all of these individuals.
CTJ, what is the best match at Money in the Bank at the O2 Arena in London? The best match you saw was?
I'm going to cheat a little bit on this one. The Women's Money in the Bank match, in terms of just the match itself, the kind of the brutality, the violence, like the ending as well. But I can't look past the main event of the Bloodline Civil War, just from a storyline standpoint, and how it just continues to just be excellent week in and week out. The match itself was a good match, but I was more impressed with the psychology of the match. So if I had to choose between the two of them, give me the Women's Money in the Bank match, just because of how hard the women really went and showed out on that one. I loved it.
For me, Cody Dom. Respectfully. Yes, absolutely. Every time, respectfully. I can't turn a blind eye to the story of what's happening with the Usos, as we just documented. It just is just amazing, because there's a lot more left on the table for those five, yeah, if you include Paul Heyman. Yeah. But I thought the women's match, I think they stole it. You take away the main event, and the women's match was the best that I saw. And you say, well, what about Seth Rollins? You know, like, it was fine. It wasn't great. You know what I'm saying? Is that fair?
Yeah,
it's fine.
It's absolutely fair. And here's the thing with Seth Rollins. We've seen this for so long with him.
Yeah,
that his ability to give you really good matches, you know, just consistently now, at least in WWE for a decade, that I don't want to say we almost become numb to it, but it's just like, if Seth Rollins is in the ring, we know we're going to get a quality match. Yep. But I think from a storyline perspective, he needs someone to help elevate his game even more. I don't know if I don't know if that storyline has progressed enough for Seth to take it to an even another level to really perform. But I think we've almost been spoiled by Seth. We've almost been spoiled by just how good he's been over the course of this decade and the things that he can do in the ring. But it was a fine match. It was a good match between him and Finn. But
yeah,
It just missed something. It was missing a little something.
I have not seen the press conference. I see they wrapped up the press conference at the O2 Arena with Triple H and some of the wrestlers that were on the card tonight. But just hats off to everybody. And I'm talking about everybody in wrestling. You see what's happening here? Everyone's trying to top one another, right? Everyone's trying to top. We just got through, you know, the AEW show that took place in Toronto with Forbidden Door, which was fantastic. 4+ hours of great action. Now here comes Money in the Bank. And again, it's just everything centered around the main event, but also really good matches and surprises. There's something that we don't get in wrestling enough is the surprises. And so we had a number of those in London, and the fans were great. And so now it's like, AEW, what are you going to say about this? WWE, what are you going to say? You know, New Japan, what are you going to say? Indies, what are you going to do? So we're in a great time. I'm so happy that we're in this great time, because I'm going to tell you something. During that Cena time, it was the shits. It was hard. It's hard to tell somebody you're a wrestling fan when John Cena is the only thing that you're watching. It's like, John Cena is in TNA. That's all. I mean, we went through a long time, brother. We went through a long time with this. But now you can see, step by step, wrestling is getting to another level.
Yeah, it was. I don't want to call it the dark times, but it was a bleak period for a little bit. Especially when WWE was just kind of there by itself and it didn't really have any main competitors. But now that AEW is here, you've seen some of the other, New Japan is trying to get more and more of a presence, you know, inside of the U.S. You see what some of the other, you know, promotions are doing, whether it's MLW, Impact is still hanging in there, although, you know, they've got their issues. But you have other promotions, you know, that you can spread the wealth of these, really, from a standpoint of where we are right now, I mean, the wrestling scene is just so dynamic. You have so many dynamic performers, and they don't have to all, you know, be into one company, and everyone's fighting, clawing and scratching, you know, for, you know, a little bit of TV time. That, you know, you can go to ROH and you can be the world champion there and do your thing. It's really an awesome time right now to be a wrestling fan, because you've got so much content to consume.
We're going to blow up the ctjreport.net right now, so hopefully you got a strong server, because we're going to blow it up. The best in pop culture and pro wrestling conversation. Tell us about your website.
Yeah, CTJ Report. We do movie trailers. We talk a little pop culture. We talk some sports. I have a blog post up probably tomorrow about the Bulls and their sad state of affairs. Yeah. That's what we cover over at the CTJ Report. Just whatever you need from a pop culture standpoint or a little bit of sports discussion, we do that.
And definitely sprinkles of pro wrestling / sports entertainment, right?
Absolutely. I will try to have a post up on my reviews for a really strong Money in the Bank pay-per-view. It was a really strong pay-per-view. The wrestlers really they put it all out there tonight. It was one of the better pay-per-views that WWE's had in quite a bit.
Crowd made the show. The competitors made the show, but the crowd made the show. 19,000 plus at the O2 to see this. Shout out to Michael Cole screaming, losing his voice, screaming because he's putting it over. And you know what? They did a nice job, because it was the SmackDown team that did it, right? Because there was no Corey Graves tonight.
Yeah. Yeah. Kudos to Michael Cole and Wade Barrett, you know, for their announcing. They really helped, you know, sell what was going on as well. And I'm sure you can say this, that London is definitely an A-town.
Oh, no question. Absolutely A-town. And I can't wait for them to have WrestleMania. I think that's going to be really fantastic. Don't forget, we've got Good Karma Wrestling every Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific. That's when we go live. You check us out on YouTube, youtube.com. Look for Good Karma Wrestling. Follow us at GKW_wrestling as well. And don't forget the ctjreport.net. That's where you can find CTJ. He's got the best in pop culture, pro wrestling, and everything else. So for my guy, I'm Jay Hood. Don't forget to follow along on Instagram at Good Karma Wrestling, as well as GKW_wrestling on Twitter. We'll just continue to give you the best in pro wrestling conversation on Good Karma Wrestling.